good to be in the house of the Lord. We welcome him this morning with our praise.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you.
Let your breath come from heaven. House and is among us right now. The Spirit of the Lord is filling this place. He loves the sound of our voices, our singing, our shouts of gratitude and adoration, thankfulness. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and it is good to be among other fellow believers. Won't you find someone before you do anything else this morning? Find someone you have not said good morning to yet and say hello to them.
All right. I love seeing you greet each other. Go ahead and take a seat for just a second. I want to welcome all of you who are family members here at Prestonwood Baptist Church. been a part of Prestonwood for over 25 years, and it has changed my life dramatically. As a matter of fact, I met my wife in the singles group here at Prestonwood, and amazing singles group here, by the way. We're continuing that going. We got the gathering, got all kinds of wonderful things. But I also want to the gathering shout out. There we go. I want to welcome those online as well. But I tell you what, there is nothing like being here all together in the presence of God and praising the Lord. I'm excited about that. But I am excited also for those online. But guests here today, I want to give you a special welcome. As a matter of fact, I want to give you a gift. You're supposed to ooh. Yes, thank you. Guest, if you'll do this for me, if you'll take your phone out, text 74788, text the word guest. We'd love to know that you're here. But I'd also like a chance to welcome you out in the guest center and in our welcome center, because I'd love to give you a book called The Essential Gospel. I'm also going to give you a little free coupon for lunch. Again, I always remind our members who've been here for many years, that's not you, okay? These are for our first-time guests. But I think it's so powerful. I'm going to read a little bit about out of Pastor's book here, Essential Gospel, here in just a second. But I think it's important to be reminded to celebrate the great things that are happening in our church. Now, I wanted to wish you a happy church new year. You want to know why? Because the church measures their end of their calendar year in the church world is September 30th. Did you know that? I didn't either until I started working with the church. But we've got some statistics that I want to show you. I don't want them to just be numbers, because I want us to celebrate like we're going to when the Rangers win tonight. I want you to celebrate to the nth degree, because I'm going to show you some lives that were changed. So look to your neighbor left and right and say, get ready. Let me show you some things that have happened here at our church. We have had 1,138 baptisms happen at our church. Can I give a yay? All right. But also, if you look around, you maybe see some faces that are brand new. Guess what? They're brand new. So say hello to them, right? 2,089 new members as a part of Prestonwood Church as well. Can I tell you? That's awesome. Especially in a world today that's going to try to tell you the church is dying or dead. The church is alive and well, and the reason being is because Jesus is on the throne, right? Let me read this piece right here out of this book, because guests, you're going to want this. I think this is so important. Matter of fact, we do this when I'm a school superintendent here at Prestonwood Christian Academy. When I read to the kiddos, I ask them to stand. So will you stand? Because I'm going to pray here in just a second. We're going to read this together, and I want you to listen to these words. Because I know many of us maybe come from a broken place, or even now, as we've got broken things happening in the world. And I thought about us today. It says, we live in a broken world. The planet is in pain, the cosmos in chaos, and there's so many broken lives around us as a result. Not only the global and national challenges we face, but the personal tragedies like the parent who buries a child, a divorce that rips a family apart, a disease that attacks a body. It's a broken, broken world. And yet, the apostle tells us, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. In other words, our tragedies and problems can't be compared, even a little bit, to the glory of Christ who is yet to come. Amen? Why don't you join me in prayer as we continue to praise. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity as we come to you. Many, some of us even in brokenness, and maybe some trying to have several questions, and really in the things that are going on in our world today. Lord, we just need to be reminded, you are in control. Nothing catches you by surprise. Even as we celebrate the incredible lives and the number of lives that are changed here at our church, let us be reminded that it is nothing about us or the things that we can do, not about any individual, but it is what you can do through the life of a church, that we keep you in the forefront of everything. Let us continue to help fulfill your mission to impact the world for you. Lord, we come completely to you, and we praise you. We lift your holy name. And everyone said, amen.
Spirit of the living God.
are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here.
Stop working, even when I don't. Yes, indeed. He is the way maker and the promise keeper. Please remain standing for just a moment, and then we're going to be seated. I'm going to share a word with you about what is on my heart and our hearts as a church living in these days, but how good it is to know that God is present, that He's always working. And in view of what's happening in Israel and in the Middle East with these terrorist attacks and the spread of terrorism potentially triggered around the world, including the United States, we pray for God's protection, our defender, our keeper, our helper. But specifically, we pray for Israel. And there is a scripture that I want us to quote together. And you see it on the screen. That's right out of God's Word from Psalm 62 and verse 1. So let this be our prayer for our friends in Israel these days and Jewish people all over the world and our neighbors. So let's say it together. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. Amen and amen. Go ahead and take a seat now, and let me just speak to you as your pastor and as your friend from my heart. As we have viewed the terrorists in the world, specifically in Israel, the atrocities, the savagery, the massacres, it is so hard to hear, it is so hard to see, isn't it? And now war, which Israel has every right to defend itself and its people, and we do stand for the vindication of God's people, Israel, and we pray for them, as we're told in the scriptures, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we do pray for peace. Ultimately, there will be no peace until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes again. But until then, we pray for peace and we work towards peace with all people who are willing to be peaceable. Terrorists are not willing to be peaceable. Hamas is a terrorist organization spawned by a false ideology and a false religion. This is what you get when you get idolatry. You get terror and the work of Satan. And this is the powerful work of Satan. Use no other description of what we're seeing in Israel but terror and evil and the power of Satan, the unholy, demonized, madmen, killers that are taking lives. Israel has lost more people in the last 8 days than any other period in their history except the Holocaust. Put that in perspective. Imagine 30 or 40,000 Americans being slaughtered right now, and the impact, because comparatively sized to nations, it would be approximately 30, 40,000 dead in America by terrorists and 100,000 or so taken captive. So we must pray that God would give our leaders here in America the strength to stand with Israel. You can expect the liberal media, the woke media, and all the rest, the universities, the elitists, the woke, they're going to rise up against Israel. It's already happening. And with the protests, and everyone has the right to protest peacefully. We affirm that. But you don't have the right to say, kill the Jews. You don't have the right to say that any more than you have the right to say fire in a crowded theater. And that's the goal. That's the state of the goal. Say, well, can't peace be negotiated? You can't negotiate with terrorists. You can't negotiate with people who deny your right to even exist. Iran, who sponsors this kind of terrorism, says our stated goal is to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. But God will not allow that to happen, because God sees Israel as the apple of His eye. And in some way, by the power of God, may the vindication of our God come upon His people. We stand with Israel and with solidarity towards the people, the Jewish people. The gospel is for the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. Romans 1:16. God so loved the world, He loves everyone. He loves Arab people and Jewish people and Gentiles of all kinds, Europeans. He loves everyone. And we care about everyone. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So when we pray for victory for Israel, we pray for God's protection upon the innocent. Israel is doing everything possible in the Gaza Strip to get the innocents out before the unleashing of the fury of judgment comes upon Hamas and those who support Hamas and violence. There are partners that we have in Israel who are on the ground even now working and serving front lines, and we are going to be supporting these with food and supplies and physical help, spiritual help, prayer and ministry. We have these partners, including the Joshua Project led by Joel Rosenberg, including the International Mission Board of Southern Baptists, who are also on the ground, including Friends of Zion led by Mike Evans, our friend, who was on the front lines. He was in the first service. He just got home from the front lines of Israel. He was right there seeing some of the tragedies and travesties that are taking place. And then others that we're considering. So we're opening up a fund. It's on the screen. It's called the Israel Fund, or the Crisis Fund for Israel. And here's how you can give to this. You can do it by text. And you see the number there for those of you who are adept at handling your text giving. You can do it there. You can visit prestonwood.org/crisis. You can do it the old-fashioned way. If you exit and you want to put a check in one of the boxes as you leave, or at one of the giving centers outside with your card, it will be marked Israel Crisis or Crisis Fund for Israel. And you can put cash. Everything that comes in cash, loose offering in the box, will go to this fund. We're going to keep it open for a while. We'll work with our partners on the needs, and specifically, we'll do it all in Jesus' name. We'll do it all because Christians care. And while we care for the people of Israel and in the land, let me remind you that Jewish friends all around us, our neighbors, are living in fear right now. And we should express our love and support and stand with solidarity with the neighbor next door or the co-worker. And let your Jewish friends know that we as Christians oppose anti-Semitism in its every evil, ugly, racist form. And anti-Semitism is rising in America and in Europe and in other places in the world. So let your Jewish friends know of your love and your care and your compassion and your prayers in these days. I'm going to be sitting down with a Jewish rabbi this Thursday along with Jeremiah Johnston, and we're going to be doing a televised special for PowerPoint television. We'll also show it online, where we're going to be talking about all these issues, the issues of Islam and ideologies and anti-Semitism and what's happening with Hamas and what's happening in Israel. We're going to be dealing with this, but just know it's going to get extremely ugly. It's going to be horrific what happens. And it's going to be hard to see and hard to watch and hard to hear. But stay strong in Christ. Don't live in fear, because the Lord is our defender. He is our shield. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. Be courageous. Meg Wagnon graduated from Prestonwood Christian Academy in 2013. She went on to get her degree from Texas A&M. Go ahead. Okay, was on the staff at Prestonwood Christian Academy as a middle school teacher and for a few years, and then she worked in our missions department here at Prestonwood. She was called to go be a missionary in Israel, and she served in Judea Samaria, which is also politically known as the West Bank, as a teacher and missionary. She was there when the conflict started. And last Sunday, everything was locked down. The sirens were on, reports of bombs. They were going door to door. The West Bank is Palestinian territory. I prefer and advise Christians, by the way, not to call Israel Palestine. It is Israel. It is not Palestine. Palestine was the name given by the Romans, by Hadrian, the Roman Emperor Hadrian, whose goal was to destroy the Jews. So Palestine was the name adopted later on. So I don't call Israel or any part of it Palestine, and advise you to do the same. But she was teaching in the West Bank in Bethlehem, and she was under a blanket, hiding and hoping and praying and watching you, Preston Wood, we worshiped and heard the word of God, which comforted her. Imagine that. Those of you who are watching online, some of you in dangerous places in the world, we come to you in Jesus' name and with the strength and the word of God and the help of Almighty God and His Spirit. But she was watching online and praying. And when she heard us praying for Israel, she was comforted and strengthened. She was rescued. I told her this morning, rescued by a human angel and some divine angels as well, I'm sure. And she got through all the checkpoints, crossed over the battlefield into the Jordanian border. She sheltered in place a few days there this week, and then on to Dubai, where she took a flight. There was a layover, 16 hours. Don't complain about the next layover you get. She was there 16 hours. She arrived on Thursday morning, and that's her right there with Dr. Mike Goddard and her mother, who teaches at Prestonwood Christian Academy. That's Meg in the middle. And she told me just a few moments ago, she was in the first service. She said, I'm teaching online, but I'm going back as soon as I can. Courage and conviction and call. So we pray for Megan and the people like Megan. Put a face on all the people who are serving Jesus and working in His name to alleviate hurt and brokenness. What Mike Goddard read from my book, The Essential Gospel, a moment ago is true. It's all in Romans 8. We live in a broken world, broken people. But Jesus came to put the pieces back together. And my prayer is that we could be conduits of hope to our Jewish friends, to people around the world, that we would be known as a light in the darkness, that we would be people who love and give and serve and pray. So I want us to pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for this situation, the war. Pray for protection, defense for Israel and for all the peoples in the world, the innocents in the world, and pray that the judgment of God would fall upon evil. Here's how we're going to pray. We've stood in solidarity with Israel. Now I want us to get on our knees. If you are physically able, I want you to get on your knees with me right now. If you can't get on your knees, then maybe just lean over on the pew in front of you. I want a posture of obedience and dependence and humility before the Lord. So all across this room and wherever you are watching online, let me encourage you, right where you are, to get on your knees and pray with us. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Daniel, Esther, Mary. You are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, our King. We know, O God, that You are in control. We never doubt that. That in the chaos and confusion, the evil, the destruction, the darkness of this world, that Your light shines and never stops. Help us to find our hope in You. And may we be messengers of hope. Hope in Jesus, our Savior, to the world. We pray for our friends in Israel under attack. We pray that You would embolden them to do what they must do to eradicate evil in their country. And I pray, O God, that national leaders here in America, our president and others who lead, would stand strong and firm. I pray that pastors and church leaders and clerics, even Islamic clerics, oh God, would be bold to condemn this evil in the world and be a part of the destruction of all terrorist organizations. So for every pastor and every cleric and every rabbi and every leader in America, oh God, may we stand, and across the world, and even now, as people are coming against Israel in the press and some of media, marches and protests, God, help us to be true. Help us not to be swayed in our convictions by the world. But may we live by your book, your Bible, and may we live according to its truth. And You have told us that Your people Israel are blessed, and You have a covenant with them, and that they will remain in the land until You come again. And so, Lord, We don't know whether this is the end of the world or not, but we do know we are living at the world at end, the world at the end, because the last days are coming and are here when you will come again for your church and for your people. So God, may we be faithful to you and fervent in our praying and in our witness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I'm
Amen. Please be seated and take God's word and turn with me to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And we're going to look at verse 18, and this will be a two-part message called The Holy Spirit and You. The Holy Spirit and You. When we pray for God to have His way and His will to be done, when we pray for revival, we are asking God to pour out His Spirit upon His people, upon His church, to revive us again, and to fill us with His Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a message in our Distinctives for Disciples series about the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've talked about the trustworthiness of God's Word. We've talked about salvation, how we come to know faith in Jesus Christ, and how we can be saved, certain, and secure forever in Christ. We've spoken the last time regarding the will of God, knowing and doing the will of God, finding, following, fulfilling God's plan, because we are made for a purpose, on purpose, to live out that purpose in the name of Jesus Christ, to glorify our God. And so in order to do the will of God, to obey His commands, to live a Christ-like life, we are given God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We know there are unholy spirits, demonized people, spiritually unholy, Hamas. Did you know the word Hamas is in the Bible? Genesis 6 speaks of the word violence. And the people before the flood, their minds were filled only on evil continually. Hamas is the word. Violent. Evil, violence. And the people were so filled with evil violence that God destroyed them all in the flood, save Noah and his family who believed in God. Yes, there are demonized spirits, an unholy spirit, Satan himself, and the works of the enemy. But thank God, greater is He that is in you and me than he that is in the world. And we have the Holy Spirit who is alive in us. The Holy Spirit has been described the missing person of the Trinity. The Trinity being the Godhead. God is one. There is one God. We learned that from the Old Testament scriptures, and it's true. There is one God, and we're to worship God and Him only. God has expressed Himself in three persons, thus the Trinity. And we meet the triune God throughout the pages of Scripture, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see the Holy Spirit not as optional, but co-equal, co-eternal, co-essential with God the Father and God the Son. Please do not view the Holy Spirit as an option like you may have on your car that you haven't figured out how to use yet, or on your cell phone. No, the Holy Spirit is present always with God. In creation, the Holy Spirit was present. When God created the heavens and the earth, we're told in Genesis 1 that the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the water. And in creation, therefore, God, like in Christ, who is the creator of the cosmos, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit present in creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit present in Christ Himself when Jesus came. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of Mary, and Jesus was conceived. The Messiah was born by the work and the will of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And therefore present in Christ, perfectly present in Jesus. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit, baptized by the Spirit. He was the most Spirit-filled individual who ever walked on the face of the earth. So co-equal, co-eternal, co-essential with Christ Himself, and then the Spirit Himself, God's Holy Spirit, present in the Christian. That's why I'm calling this message The Holy Spirit and You. Because you, if you are a believer and follower of Jesus, if you know God, it is because God's Spirit is alive in you. And therefore, we ought to live in the fullness of His Spirit. We're going to be talking about what that means. God is one, but He expresses Himself in three persons. Speaking of one, I heard about a couple. They just got married. They were on their honeymoon, and they went to the Grand Canyon. And they decided to go down with a group on mules from the top to the bottom. So they get their mules, and this young woman, the new wife, she's on a mule, and the mule about halfway down just balks and bows up and nearly throws her off. And the young husband heard her say, "That's one." Mule settled down. They went a little further, and the mule slipped and fell. She nearly went with him. Once they got the mule up, the husband heard her say, "That's two." They got to the bottom finally, and there was water, and the mule was thirsty, so the mule went running towards the water and jumped in the water with the young lady on its back. Now she's soaking wet, head to foot. She gets out. She says, "That's three." And she pulls a gun from her purse and shoots the mule. To which her young husband said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "That's one." Well, I thought a little levity might be in order this morning with the heaviness of this day. One God. Have you noticed how we often see how things come in threes? It's called the rule of three. And I've seen it in many ways and many different expressions through the years. For example, a sermon. Every good sermon ought to have 3 points. The best sermons, and this has been proven to be true, people can hang on about 3 points. You get 10 points, 9 points, 7 points. Every sermon ought to have at least 1 point. Can I get an amen? There ought to be at least 1 point to the sermon. But typically a sermon unfolds at about 3 points. So you see that in speaking, in public speaking, if you do any public speaking. I'm told that interior design, that when like you frame a room with pictures, you do it in threes. And even furnishings, furniture around the room, that you set it up in threes. Now, I know nothing about what I'm talking about right now, but I read it on the internet, so it must be true, right? In threes. What I didn't read this on the internet, what I read in God's Word is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that says that we're to be sanctified, body, soul, and spirit. Men, humankind, men and women, are made like God in three parts. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we have a physical life, a body. We have a soul, that's the word psyche, psychological life, the mind, the emotions, the will, and we have spiritual life when we have life in Christ. So we are in three parts. We are a trinity as well, body, soul, spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So understand this about the Holy Spirit, first of all, that the Holy Spirit lives in every Christian. His presence is in every believer's life. Now, don't let that just go over your head because maybe you've heard it before. For some of you, it's the first time. One of the reasons that we are doing this Distinctives for Disciples message series is because for those of us who've been trekking with the Lord a long time following Jesus, we always need a refresher course and to remember what we need to do, the fundamentals, the essentials. You never get past the essentials, the core beliefs and behaviors of the Christian life. Peter said, I wrote to remind you of these things. So in one sense, we are doing this to remind you. Did you know the Texas Rangers are in the American League playoffs, by the way, down to the Final Four? Go Rangers and beat the evil empire down south. Let's go. But I was reading about Bruce Bochy. And, you know, Bochy is a veteran manager. He's been around a long time, won 3 World Series championships with the San Francisco Giants, including beating the Rangers 1 year, which wasn't good in the World Series. But anyway, Bochy's a great manager. And he's old school, they say, because he manages not only with the new data that is available, and in Major League Baseball, in case you don't follow it, like all sports really, there's an incredible amount of computerized data, which pitch a certain batter hits, where to throw, where to pitch, where to line up, and so on. All that data, which can be helpful, of course, but you can get all that data in your head if you're not careful. And it's the paralysis of analysis. So in coaching or in managing, the best are able to take that and use it, but use the instinctive abilities. And it was Bochy who does that. It's Bochy who does it so very well. And a Wall Street Journal article describing the effectiveness of the Rangers, because last year we only won 68 games, and now we're in the final four on the way to the World Series. Yes, Lord. On the way to the World Series. And how did it happen? How did this team turn around? A concentration on the fundamentals, on the essentials. The Rangers are one of the best fielding teams in baseball. And pitching and hitting, not just the new school, but the old school. So I went a little longer on that than I planned, but I'm trying to illustrate to you that our core beliefs are essentials, the fundamentals. We never grow beyond the fundamentals. Winning Christians live the fundamentals and practice the essentials, the core beliefs of the faith. So we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. To those of you who may not be believers or you're brand new believers, you may don't understand at all who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. So this is going to be an important teaching for us. But here's the point. This is a miracle. A miracle that we share, according to 1 Peter, the divine nature. We are not God. That's New Age philosophy. But God is with us. God is in us. Jesus is alive in us. So when you get up in the morning and look into the mirror, rather than give yourself all these, you know, personal self-affirmations, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, I'm great enough. Instead of that, why don't you look in the mirror and say, I am a child of God, indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. His deity inhabits my humanity. Jesus is alive in me this day, and therefore, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. This is the miracle that takes place in the life of a Christian. And therefore, there's incredible power in this. And what kind of power is it? Turn in your Bibles. You're in Ephesians 5. Go back a few chapters to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to show you what this power is all about. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. This is not some Mickey Mouse power. This is the power of God in us. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? And while you're reading with me here, I want you to maybe check off just some of the words that you see in this passage that have to do with power or strength. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? Dunamis, which is dynamic in our language. Today, or toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, I'm helping you, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Paul ransacks his own vocabulary using multiple words to describe the power of God in the Christian. It is this immeasurable power, the immeasurable greatness of his power. It is the working of God according to his great might, and it is the power of the resurrection. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and working in you as a Christian. That's a miracle. This is who you are. God is always working by the power of Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And oh, how we need this power. Power, the power of the Spirit of the living God to break the power of addiction and sin and habits that hold us back. To heal our hurts. Oh, how we need the Spirit of the living God to calm our fears and to heal our hurts, to strengthen us for the task at hand, to engage and empower our prayers when we pray. When we pray for revival, this is the work of God. This is the work of the church. And oh, how we need the power of God to stand courageously and convictionally in our generation. It's not always easy to stand. And if it's up to me and you, we would fail. We would fall. But we have the power of the resurrected Christ alive in us. Not just the power of the resurrection, but the power of the risen one, Jesus himself. Christ is in us. We need the power to be able to share our faith in our generation. It is so vital in this world at the end in which we are living, that we be effective witnesses. And how are we going to do that? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Yes, the power of the risen one, the power of the resurrected one, the power of the one who is at the throne of God is alive and working in us. Which means not only is the presence of God in every believer, but the power of God is in every Christian. When we allow him to fill us and live in the fullness of his Spirit, then we can walk in victory. Why are so many Christians defeated? Why are so many people living beneath their privileges as the children of God? Why are you overcome rather than overcoming the power of sin and Satan in your life? When Jesus is alive in you, his Holy Spirit is present in you. What? 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Therefore glorify God in your body, which belongs to God. That means in your life. So I'm saying, the Word of God is telling us the Holy Spirit is present. The question is he predominant in your life? Is he filling you in all his fullness? He is resident, but is he real in you? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about what that means in the next message and how to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But let me just say briefly that it's not necessarily a big event, a big explosive experience in your life. For most of us, the fullness of the Spirit just comes as we walk in the Spirit day by day, as we yield to the Spirit of God in us, a step at a time, a day at a time, as we just sweetly respond and surrender to the Spirit of God in our life each day. That's the fullness of the Spirit. More about that next time. But before we close this message, let me give you ways that I believe the Holy Spirit works in us right now. The Holy Spirit in you. Number one, the Holy Spirit prompts. Prompts. And by that, I'm referencing Romans 8:14, which says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Just as we talked the last time about walking in the will of God, living in the Spirit of God, we are aligning our will with the will of God, and the Holy Spirit will prompt us through his word, the scripture, as we're consistently, faithfully opening up God's word, and by his Spirit who is in us, who prompts us, not with holy hunches or, you know, just guesswork, but God's work in us, the Holy Spirit prompting us as we live. The Holy Spirit prays. Romans 8:26 and 27. The Spirit of God intercedes with us, helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when we don't know how to pray, when we come up against situation, maybe a crisis, and we're even too hurt to know what to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us anyway. I spoke with someone this week who said, I don't even know how to pray about this. And I said, that's okay. We're going to pray with you, and the Holy Spirit is going to pray in you until you can pray for yourself. The Holy Spirit is our partner in prayer. The Holy Spirit pours out his love. The Holy Spirit pours, Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit pours out his love in us by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. I don't think we have that one on the screen. And then the Holy Spirit proves the message of the gospel. How do we know that we are saved? The Holy Spirit witnesses within us, Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So I know that I am saved, and you should too, because the Spirit of God tells you. You say, how does that work? How do I know? I can't describe it to you. I just know that I know that I know because the Holy Spirit witnesses within me, the witness of the Spirit, that I am a child of God, and you can know the same. So the Holy Spirit proves. He proves the gospel message, even as I'm preaching and sharing the gospel. When I say Christ died for your sins and rose again on the third day, and if you put your faith and trust in him and repent of your sins and receive Christ, he will save you. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of that message that you just heard and speaks right to your heart. This is the truth. This is right. You need to confess your sins and receive Christ as your Savior. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't get saved just anytime you feel like it. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is why you shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit by saying no and no and no to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, but say yes. So the Holy Spirit proves the message of God. The Holy Spirit partners with his church. The work of Christ in his church is emboldened and empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have revival, it's because the Holy Spirit moves among us as his people. The Holy Spirit partners with his church in gifting his children with spiritual gifts in order that we may do the work of the ministry. And then the Holy Spirit protects and preserves. Philippians 1:6, he who began the good work in you will perfect it, perform it, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why do we keep believing? Why do we keep persevering? Why do we keep going? Why do we keep trusting in God? Not because we're that strong, but because the Holy Spirit is strong in us. The Holy Spirit is persevering. When we talk about the perseverance of the saints, we're really talking about the perseverance of the Holy Spirit in us who perseveres. And what God starts, he finishes. So don't tell me that God is going to walk away from you, his investment. He died for you. His blood was poured out for you. He purchased you as his dear child. And his spirit resides in you to complete the work of God. God's not finished with me yet, thank God. God's not finished with you yet. He's still working in the seen and the unseen. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit, authenticating and affirming that we belong to Jesus. It's called the baptism of the Spirit when we are immersed into Christ. This is not something we do for ourselves. This is what God does for us. He baptizes us, places us in the body of Christ, and then he seals us unto the day of redemption. A seal was a Roman seal. It's stamped with authenticity on legal documents. We're told that the Holy Spirit is the authenticator, and he stamps us with the image and identity of Jesus Christ. We are therefore protected. And the Holy Spirit promises to take us to glory. We have all of him in all of us who name his name. Next week, we're going to be talking about how we access the power and the presence of God in our lives. This is the Holy Spirit and you. This is the Holy Spirit in you, filling you and fulfilling his promise in you. And we have an eternal life in Christ. God gave us eternal life in the work of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection. And Jesus promised abundant life, and then he gave us the Holy Spirit to assure us of abundant life. Many Christians, unfortunately, have eternal life, but they're not living an abundant life because you don't know the presence and the power of the Spirit of God in your life. So let's pray. And let's ask the Lord to fill us with His Spirit. It starts with the desire, oh Lord, you know, God, you don't have to beat your head on the ground, twist God's arm to fill you with His Spirit. Just permit Him to do what He wants to do. And say, Lord, I ask you to fill me and use me. Make me and break me. Mold me and make me. That I might fulfill your purpose and plan for my life. That I might be a witness, a light in this dark world. To my family, to my friends, to our community. Lord, give me that abundant, triumphant life that you've promised. No longer living in defeat, but living in victory. Over sin, over sorrow, over suffering, over death itself. If you don't know Jesus, I'm going to invite you to put your faith and trust in Him, to invite Christ. No one can be saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that. You cannot be born again unless you're born of the Spirit. So this is your spiritual birth right now. Invite Christ in your life. He loves you. He gave His life on the cross for you to forgive your sins. He will live in you by His Spirit, and He will take you to heaven when He comes for you. So say, Lord Jesus, just pray it from your heart, Lord Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. I trust you as my Savior. I will follow you as my Lord. Come into my life. Change my heart. Make me your child. And may I live for you in the power of your Spirit until you come for me. And if you're praying that prayer, thank Him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting me of my need and convincing me that this is the right time and the right moment to say yes. The miracle happens when you trust in Christ. In just a moment, we're going to stand, and when we do, I'm going to invite you to come forward and make a public decision for Christ, to openly confess your faith in Christ, which He commanded. I ask you to take a stand with Jesus. Take a stand with Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Online, you can text us at 747-88, the word Jesus, and we're standing by to connect with you and encourage you in your faith as you start following Jesus. We'll send you a New Testament, respond to you as you have needs in your life. So do that right now, 747-88-JESUS. And right here in this room, the ministers of the church are going to be here at the front, upstairs in the balcony, for those of you upstairs. And as we sing, God so loved the world. That means He loves you, and His Spirit is drawing you. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't say no to the Holy Spirit. God said, my Spirit will not always strive with a man. Don't resist the work of God's Spirit in your life. Come to Jesus today. Others are believers. You need to belong to this church. We had so many come forward in the earlier service for church membership. So all you need to do is just walk forward, tell one of the ministers, I want to become a part of the Prestonwood Church family. You've prayed about it. The Spirit of God is leading you. Now's the time to do that, to lead the way and set the examples to others who will follow you for the first time to Jesus. Your example matters. So Lord, work by your Spirit in every one of our lives today, filling us, using us, save the lost, sanctify the saved, all of us, Lord, in you. Make us more and more like you. And Lord, may this time of decision reflect real revival in our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.